Hi, everyone. So it's Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 21. And that's on page 1039 on the Church Bibles. So that's Luke chapter 9, verse 21 to 26. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels."
Thank you so much, Jemima. It's been a great summer of sport, hasn't it? We've had the Euros earlier on in the year. Maybe too soon to think about that still. We thought it was coming home, and it didn't. So I guess all is well in the world. That's pretty normal. Then we had the Olympics, which were great. All sorts of sport you don't normally get to watch. Fantastic. All sorts of venues, all sorts of different athletes. And GB did pretty well. But the best thing about those kind of moments, those moments that capture our attention, that inspire us, is that there's hours of pain, sweat, and tears that go behind those. Those moments that define a career that stand out in our memory, where they're really costly for the athletes. Don't take my word for it. This is what the greatest sprinter ever has to say about those moments. Usain Bolt says, "Dreams are free. Goals have a cost. While you can daydream for free, goals don't come without a price. Time, effort, sacrifice, and sweat. How will you pay for your goals?" That's what Usain Bolt has to say about achieving his goals. We've just heard a part of Jesus' life that at that point it became obvious to his friends that Jesus was the great king. He was the one they'd been waiting for, the champion of humanity that we all needed. The dream was about to become a reality, they thought. But nobody was thinking about what it would cost. Like what it would cost Jesus to become that great king. What it would cost them to follow this great king. This morning, I want us to see from this passage in Luke that because Jesus won our salvation at a great cost, following Jesus is fully worth any cost. Being friends with God, being on Jesus' team, is incredibly costly. And it is absolutely the 100% the best thing you could ever do. Better than winning an Olympic gold medal. Better than a Euros championship. Firstly, Jesus won our salvation at great cost. It's quite common for people to have nicknames. Maybe you have one. Hands up if you have a nickname. Someone calls you something other than your full name. Yeah, lots of us. Keep your hands up if your nickname means King of the Universe. Nobody. We nearly had one at the first service, although they decided probably not. That would be pretty unusual, pretty spectacular. But that's what Jesus' favorite name for himself means. He calls himself the Son of Man. That's the person that God chooses to be king of everyone, everywhere, forever. It comes from a part of the Old Testament where Daniel, of Daniel and the Lion's Den fame, he sees this vision. Let me read it out for you. He says, "In my vision, I saw one who looked like a son of man. He was coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the eternal God. He was led right up to him. He was given authority, glory, and a kingdom. Peoples of all nations, no matter what language they spoke, worshipped him. His authority will last forever. It will not pass away. His kingdom will never be destroyed. This is the Bible says that we've all been waiting for. This is the King who's going to fix everything that's wrong with our world and everything that's wrong with us. This is the King who wouldn't mess up, who wouldn't make any mistakes. He'd be the ultimate winner, heaven's champion, the champion of earth. That's who Jesus says he was. But there's a word here that should have us scratching our heads. It's that word forever. And last week I saw something that I'd never seen before in my life. It actually took me by surprise. It was a £5 note. I mean, I've seen fivers before. Can you guess why this £5 note took me by surprise? It had the King's head on it and not the Queen's. Not seen that before. You may have noticed during the Olympics, some of the athletes on the podium singing God Save the Queen still, forgetting that actually that the lyrics have changed. We don't sing that anymore. We sing God Save the King. Like the Queen was around for so long, it kind of felt like she would always be around, didn't it? She reigned for 70 years, and that is a long, long time. But even the Queen couldn't live or reign forever. And no matter how powerful, no matter how good, no matter how wise, it seems like death wins against all rulers that this world has ever known, and over us as well. But not over Jesus. Jesus tells us exactly how he's going to reign forever. This is what he says. He says, the Son of Man must suffer many things. The elders will not accept him. The chief priests and the teachers of the law will not accept him either. He must be killed and on the third day rise from the dead. This is good news that in the end, Jesus will beat death. He raises from the dead and the champion over the grave. That he will be able to reign forever. But first, it will cost him. First, it's going to look like he's lost. Like kings live in comfort, but Jesus says he must suffer. Good kings are loved by their people. Jesus says he's going to be rejected by all the important people in the country. Now, we want good kings to live for many, many years, but Jesus says he must be killed like a common criminal. Jesus says he must suffer, he must be rejected, he must be killed, and then rise. This doesn't look like championship material. But Jesus said it had to be that way. But why did it have to be this way, we might ask? It's because Jesus had to win a victory for his people. And Jesus had to pay the cost that we could never pay, and so he took it for us. He took the penalty for our wrongdoing for us. He entered into our death for us. He took on the brokenness of the world for us because we had no way of dealing with it ourselves. But Jesus did. And Jesus rose back to life again, defeating death, winning against sin and brokenness. See, it looked like he had lost. But that was the very moment of his victory. And that's our victory too if we're following him. Just like Ewan was our champion, he won. But all of you get to share in his sweets if you're a child. Maybe for an adult. Like, it's like that with the Olympics, isn't it? Like, even when one athlete wins the Olympic gold, the whole nation celebrates in the win. We get to say we're the best at women's 800 or men's triathlon. Although none of us entered that race. Like, none of us lifted a finger, but we get to join in the triumph. And it's even better with Jesus. Even better than that. Because I'm never going to get to bite Alex Yee's gold medal. Don't particularly want to, but I'll never get to do it. And like whether he won or lost makes very little difference to my everyday personal life. But if we're on Jesus' team, if we follow him, then sin and death have been defeated for us. If you follow Jesus, this changes everything, both now and forever. If you follow Jesus, if you trust in him, you can be friends with God now, today. God smiles at you today and every day. If you follow Jesus, you can walk through every good day and even your worst days, knowing that God cares for you, that he's involved in your life, that he's working good things for you in the future. We can be confident that of life forever beyond death, because Jesus has gone there first and won for us. You see, Jesus has won salvation for us at a great cost. He is the champion we all need. If you're at Holiday Club, then you've been hearing this message all week, and that is great news. But this means something. This means that following Jesus has to be worth it, no matter what the cost is. That's our second point today. Follow Jesus, whatever the cost. Let's be honest, following Jesus, being on Jesus' team, is costly. That's what Jesus said in our passage in verse 23. He said, whoever wants to follow me must say no to themselves. They must pick up their cross every day and follow me. They must say no to us, say no to themselves. That means to give up doing what they want when they want. It means that, like, when we only want to be nice to the people that are nice to us, but Jesus says to love everyone, even our enemies, it means saying no to ourselves and yes to Jesus. It means when we want to be selfish with our possessions or our time, but Jesus says to be generous, it means saying no to ourselves and yes to Jesus instead. Like, there may be people, goals, relationships, jobs, investments that we say no to in order to say yes to Jesus, because we want to say yes to Jesus. Like, they must say no to themselves. They also must take up their cross. The cross was, like, not a nice thing at all. It was a horrible tool for executing criminals in Jesus' day. If you saw someone walking past you carrying a cross, that would probably be the last time you saw that person alive. Jesus is saying we need to think of ourselves as people who have given our lives to Jesus, who are ready to die for Jesus. And he says not just to do that once, but to do that every single day. Every day. That might mean being okay with people thinking that we're a bit weird because we believe in Jesus. It might be mean being on the outside of a friendship circle or on the outside of those promotion conversations because people know that what Jesus thinks means much more to us than what other people think. It means being honest with people when they ask us what we believe, even saying some of the hard things that Jesus has said. It means following Jesus, even into suffering, even into rejection, maybe even into death. Let's be honest, that doesn't sound great, does it? That's not a great advert for Christianity. Like, if I invited you to my birthday party, do you expect me to talk about all the good food, the good music, the good times we're going to have? Not the fact that there's going to be awkward conversation. If I was selling you a pair of trainers, you expect me to talk about how cool they look, how comfy they'd be, not the fact that actually give you blisters for the first 2 months of you wearing them. Like, you think, like, Jesus, you're selling this all wrong. You're meant to be telling how good things will be. But actually, this is great that Jesus tells us this. Jesus wants us to know the truth that following Jesus is the best thing in the world, and yet it is costly. Everyone on Jesus' team will win, but it will feel like losing first. Everyone on Jesus' team who follows Jesus will live, but we need to be prepared to die first. It's kind of like the life of a seed. You know, seeds, kind of stuff you find them in fruit, trees come out of them, those kind of things. If I had a seed and I wanted to keep hold of my seed, I wanted to keep it, you know, I didn't want anything to happen to it. Like, it will never be anything but a seed. And I could have a whale of a time with my seed. Like, we could go to theme parks together, have a good time. We could go to the football, watch a match together. We could go on holiday together. And then maybe go to a festival or two. We could be the best of friends. We could have so much fun. But in the end, it all be a waste. My seed would just go moldy and waste away. And I'd lose my seed forever. Instead, I have to choose to give up my seed earlier. I need to lose my seed. I need to bury it. The seed needs to die. And that might be a hard thing, but when the seed dies, something much better than the seed comes to life. It's new life. It's a whole tree. More seeds, more fruit. If I win first, I will definitely lose forever later. If I lose first, I will gain something much better. And it's just like that with Jesus. We must lose with Jesus to win with Jesus. In fact, it's the only way to win in the end. Jesus says in verse 24, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. See, we don't have a choice. If we don't follow Jesus, if we refuse to pay the cost, we cannot win with Jesus. But if we lose with Jesus, then like we'll win with him forever. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Verse 25 tells us, even if you gained everything you could possibly gain in this world, like if you were president of the whole globe, if you were richer than Elon Musk, brainier than Brian Cox, if you were more successful than Simone Biles, more popular than Taylor Swift, that genuinely had the most happy, fulfilling life ever, did everything on your bucket list, achieved all your goals, it wouldn't be worth it if you lost your soul for eternity. Imagine with me, I brought out this spread of food on this table here. Like anything you could dream of eating, like, I don't know what it is, steak, roast, pizza, fruit and veg. That's one for parents. Fruit and veg. Whatever it is, anything your heart's desire on this table for you to eat. And I said, you know what, in the next half an hour, you can eat all of your favorite food, all of it. But when you walk out that door, for the rest of your life, you just got to eat dry Weetabix like Ewan. That would be a really bad deal, wouldn't it? That would be horrible. Then Weetabix are right, but having a whole lifetime of it, that would be terrible. Half an hour of food heaven is not worth a lifetime of food hell. It's like that with our lives. A lifetime of gaining the world, even the best things in this world, are not worth an eternity of losing your soul. That would be a devastating loss. Friends, if that day would be a day of gain for us, a day of joy, a day of victory, then we must be on Team Jesus. And being on Team Jesus is costly. We have to die to ourselves. We have to say no to ourselves. We have to lose in order to win. But surely it's worth it. If we lose with Jesus, we will win with Jesus. But Jesus is not asking his followers to do anything that he hasn't done already. Now, Jesus knows what it is to lose. He knows what it is to say no to yourselves, what it is to die to ourselves, and ultimately to die. But the good news is Jesus already knows what it is like to taste victory over all these things. He's already beaten death. He's already beaten sin and brokenness, and he's taken all of his followers into that victory. So being Jesus' follower is costly. We're not alone as we bear that cross. We're not alone as we walk through the brokenness of this world. We're not alone as we fight temptation and sin again and again. In fact, Jesus is cheering us on now. He's spurring us on now. He stands in victory today, a victory that is won for you, which can soon be yours forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are sorry. We're sorry that we found it so hard to let go to say no to ourselves, to die to ourselves. We so want to cling to all the things that we want when we want them. We so want to do things our own way, even though we know Jesus, for some of us. Father, forgive us for the times in which we are trying to win our lives instead of losing it with Jesus. Father, forgive us for the times where we're maybe trying to do both at the same time, which is not what Jesus has asked us to do. Father, we pray that you would loosen our grip on the things of this world. Help us to see Jesus' life, Jesus' victory, as much more valuable. Help us to be willing to lose with him now, so that we'll win with him forever. Father, we pray for our church family who are feeling the cost of following Jesus today, where it's very obvious what they've had to give up for Jesus, or the things they will be asked to give up for Jesus soon, where life is difficult, where relationships are strained. Father, help us to keep our eyes on the victory that Jesus has already won for us. Help us to trust in his promises that we see here in Luke's gospel. Father, I pray for those who are feeling the brokenness of this world, particularly today. Father, please would you be with them? Would they sense Jesus cheering them on, spurring them on? I pray for those who are fighting temptation today. Help us to do that in the strength that Jesus has already won for us. We pray for those in the world who don't just give up things for Jesus, but those who are facing danger and suffering, persecution, even death because they follow Jesus. Please would you strengthen your people. Help them to cling to your promises. Father, for us, help us to live lives that show we're on Jesus' team, that we're following him. Help us to delight in following a king like this. Thank you so much that he is that king that we've been waiting for. He's the champion we need. Father, help us to love more and more following him, and help us to live like him more and more. We thank you so much for his victory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to respond by singing two songs that reflect on the cost that Jesus has borne for us, and also the cost that we bear as Christians if we want to follow him. And then the last song, celebrating that our hope is in Christ alone. Let's stand and let's sing together.